This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio at sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at sportstalknet. The Steve Callis Show on sportstalknetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Monday, May 7th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio at sportstalknetwork.com. That's STUDIO at sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today, as always. Going to go right to the NBA playoffs. I thought the biggest game yesterday, the Bulls, the number one seed, of course, without Derrick Rose, in Philly for Game 4, Philly up 2-1. Philly with the home court advantage yesterday before they go back to Chicago for Game 5. And the surprise player of the playoffs, Spencer Hawes, starting center for the Philadelphia 76ers, now goes for 22 points and 8 rebounds. Leads Philly to an 89-82 win over the Bulls. Now, this isn't shocking. We've talked all year about no Rose, no Chicago. Even looking at Chicago at an NBA championship level, they really didn't have that number two scorer who would consistently step up. Would it be Boozer? Would it be Deng? Would it be Hamilton? Would it be Kyle Korver? Well, with the loss of Rose, it almost doesn't matter. You thought Chicago could get through this series anyway, but Doug Collins did a great job this year with the 76ers. They were fortunate to be in the eighth seed to have a chance against Chicago before Rose got hurt. Now they're very fortunate because, of course, Rose tore his ACL out for the year. The Knicks, meanwhile, the talk in New York was could they get to the sixth, could they drop to the eighth. They wind up in the seventh, and although they avoided elimination yesterday, it's really only a matter of time against Miami. So the 76ers finish eighth, are fortunate that Rose got hurt. Of course, very unfortunate for the Bulls and their title hopes. But yesterday, Philly 89, Chicago 82. Philly leads the series 3-1. They go back to Chicago for Game 5, and Chicago just really doesn't have that firepower without Rose. Again, you're expecting their number 2, 3, 4, 5 guys to step up. And although they've stepped up a little, look, Carlos Boozer, 23 and 11 rebounds yesterday. But he had a huge turnover in the last minute, down 4 with the ball. He literally just dribbled the ball out of bounds, just lost control and it went out of bounds. That was one of the key plays of the game. But Philly 89, Chicago 82. Hawes, as we said, 9 for 11 from the field, good for 22 points, including 1-3, 8 rebounds. Jrue Holiday, who was terrible in the first half, shooting 1 for 13, goes 6 for 10 in the second half, finishes with 20 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. Andre Iguodala, to me, a human highlight film, 14 points, 12 rebounds, 2 assists, a very good team effort. Elton Brand, 7 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists. So a good team win for the Philly 76ers, 76ers 89, Bulls 82. Now, you know, this will go down in the record books if Philly beats Chicago. Oh, an 8-1. But, of course, that will have to be tempered with the understanding of what Chicago is without Derrick Rose. So the 76ers go up with a commanding 3-1 lead. Hard to believe the Bulls can come back and win this one. Although, again, Tom Thibodeau, an excellent coach, you never know what can happen. I thought Chicago could win this series even without Rose, but right now it's 3-1 Philly. Another interesting game. Celtics up 2-1, home court, stole home court from Atlanta in Atlanta. Celtics 101, Hawks 79 up in Boston. Boston goes up 3-1. And once again, the Rajon Rondo show. You know, what can you say about Rondo? Just a tremendously talented basketball player, great court vision. Yesterday, 16 assists and 1 turnover. Give that a little thought. Rondo, 20 points, 8 for 11 from the field, including 2 for 3 from 3. 20 points, 16 assists, 3 rebounds, 3 steals. He's unbelievable. Pierce leads Boston in scoring, 24 points. Ray Allen coming off the bench, 5 for 9, 12 points, 5 rebounds. Garnett, 13 and 5 rebounds. Bass, 10 and 5 rebounds. A big win for Boston. Celtics held to 11 points in the fourth quarter. Obviously, the game was over by then. Celtics holding the Hawks to 41 in the first half, 64-41 at the half, up 23. They coast home. Celtics 101, Hawks 79. Again, not a surprise. Celtics have been here before. They were good late. You know, some people think they can make a run, and, you know, I don't think they can beat Miami myself, but certainly with the demise of Rose, they're probably the second-best team in the East in the playoffs right now. They now hold a 3-1 lead, even though Atlanta has the home court advantage. Again, you have to like Boston. This was no surprise, even before the series started. Amazingly, Joe Johnson only 4-for-8 yesterday for 9 points for Atlanta. Josh Smith did have 15 points and 13 rebounds, but he only shot 5-for-13. Al Horford coming back for the playoffs, 12 points, 5 rebounds off the bench, but really not enough firepower. If Joe Johnson scores 9 points, I don't think Atlanta's beaten anybody, never mind the Boston Celtics. Celtics 101, Hawks 79. Celtics up 3-1, and they go back to Atlanta for the fifth game of this first-round series. The Knicks trying to stave off elimination. Stoudemire comes back from that stupid hand injury, and the Knicks do get the job done late. Knicks 89, Heat 87. Now, this was a big deal in New York because they now have the longest losing streak in the history of the NBA playoffs. It was 13 in a row. They finally snapped that streak yesterday. I certainly didn't view it to be a big deal. I think it's good for the Knicks for the future that they got to win. I don't think anybody thinks they're going to win this series either before or now. But they do get 41 points from Carmelo, 41, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. Carmelo 15-for-29 from the field. A big game for him. Stoudemire was very good, you know, and really couldn't really handle the ball with his left hand, which was heavily wrapped. Of course, you know, he stuck his hand through that fire extinguisher cover. It was broken glass, sliced up his hand. 20 points, 10 rebounds for Stoudemire, 8-for-13 from the field. Not a whole lot else from the Knicks. You know, down the road, where are they going to be? Very hard to say. Tyson Chandler with only 1 point, but he did have 9 rebounds. For Miami, LeBron with 27, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. Dwayne Wade, 22 points, 6 assists, 3 rebounds, but Wade, 4-for-11 from the foul line, hard to believe. And it's clear now that Miami has decided that Dwayne Wade's going to be the main man for the last shot. You know about all the problems Miami had last year. Who's going to take the last shot? It looks like they've now made a concerted effort to consistently have the ball in Dwayne Wade's hands. You know, LeBron James literally stood in the corner while Wade made the final possession. If you didn't see the game, Bibby hit a big three. Yes, Mike Bibby hit a big three to put the Knicks up 3. LeBron tied it up. Then very late, 87-87. Knicks score to go up 2, 13 seconds left. And they give the ball to Wade, kind of a clear out. He goes down the middle. He loses control, winds up taking a fall away three-pointer contested by Landry Fields after Amari had picked up Wade. Just came up short. Knicks 89, Heat 87. But I thought the story there now is it's clear, despite the fact that James had 27. Now, he was 9-for-21. Wade was 9-for-18, including that last miss, so 9-for-17 when he took the final shot. But clearly Miami has made a decision, and I think you have to make a decision. I don't know if it's the right one. You know, James not famous for making last-second shots, obviously. You know about all his trouble in the playoffs last year. But they've decided Wade's going to take the last shot. Now, if he doesn't lose the ball, can he score from 8 feet away, which is where he was, then force overtime? Well, maybe. Maybe. But it wasn't to be. He loses the ball. He recovers. He's taken a fall away three, a very difficult shot, contested by Fields. After he switched off, Amari had guarded Wade into the paint. Knicks 89, Heat 87. Miami, of course, still leads 3-1. They go back to Miami for game 5. Now, during the game, Baron Davis, who was the backup to Jeremy Lin, and has played okay. You know, look, he's a 15, 20-minute player. He's not a starter anymore. He's not. Everybody in New York was waiting for him to be the savior before Linsanity, and once you saw him play, it was pretty clear that he wasn't the Baron Davis of yesteryear, but still can make a shot. Can run the show, but in limited minutes, he's really, his future's as a backup point guard, maybe in New York, maybe not. But yesterday, Davis goes to the basket, his knee buckles, he actually dislocates his kneecap, and he's done for the season. The question is he done for his career? And we'll just have to wait and see, but it was ugly. If you saw it, you could actually see his knee popping out, his patella, dislocated patella. And very sad. The Knicks with only two guys in double figures, Anthony with 41, Stoudemire with 20. As we said, James with 27, Wade with 22. Bosch had a big game, 17 and 9, but he only shot 4 for 10. And again, as usual now, Miami gets very, very little off the bench. You know, Mike Miller, who you thought was going to really help offensively, 1 for 5 from 3, 3 points, 5 rebounds. Battier, who I thought did a decent job on Anthony, you know, had some mystery fouls called on him, but only 2 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists. You know, they got nothing from James Jones. Joel Anthony, 4.6 rebounds. But again, Miami is kind of where they were last year, I think. Chalmers is a little better. Haslam is not as good. They're still going with the big three. They're essentially a three-man team. Can you win a championship like that? Absolutely. And Miami's road to the finals got a lot easier when Rose tore his ACL. But yesterday, the Knicks get a win that they needed. Again, a bigger deal in New York than it should be. Knicks 89, Heat 87, Carmelo goes for 41. Amari Stoudemire coming back from injury goes for 20 and 10. In the sick world we live in, he'll probably be voted the comeback player in the playoffs, even though he hurt himself. Just half kidding there. Finally, the fourth game yesterday, again, not a surprise, although the Nuggets won Game 3 to cut the Lakers series to 2-1, Game 4 in Denver. The Lakers, down one after three quarters, rallied to beat the Nuggets, Lakers 92, Nuggets 88. Kobe 10 for 25 from the field, but he does go for 22 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, and a steal. Bynum, who's really grown up this year, 19 points on 8 for 12 shooting, 7 rebounds. Pau Gasol, 13 points on 6 for 12 shooting and 9 rebounds. Ramon Session, 12 points. And I thought Blake was a very important factor. He hit two big threes. Steve Blake off the bench, backup point guard. He hit two big threes for the Lakers. He finishes with 10 points, 3 assists. And 2 rebounds. For Denver, again, a team with a lot of good players, but no stars. And while they might be fun to coach, they have, you know, virtually no chance to win an NBA championship. Danilo Gallinari, who they got in the Carmelo deal last year, of course, from the Knicks, 20 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists. He's a very good player and a matchup nightmare because he's 6'10 and can handle it, 9 for 16 from the field. Ty Lawson, 11 points, 6 assists. Andre Miller off the bench, 15.7 rebounds, 3 assists, but it's not enough. And again, this series kind of going the way you thought this series was going to go. Lakers go up 3-1, Lakers 92, Denver Nuggets 88. The other series, San Antonio leads Utah 3-0. As you know, Oklahoma City swept Dallas. No surprise there. We've talked about it all year. No Tyson Chandler, no J.J. Barea, no Dallas championship. The Clippers lead Memphis 2-1 in their series, and Indiana took a 3-1 lead over Orlando with another win in Orlando over the weekend. And again, Orlando, no Dwight Howard, really no opportunity. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Hello.
Hi, Lynn. It's Kelly.
Hi, Kelly. What's new?
I'll tell you what's new, but you've got to promise to keep it a secret. I don't want this to get back to my customers at the spa.
Now I've got to know. Come on, tell me.
I found this skin cream called Esotique that's simply amazing for my dark circles, brown spots, and wrinkles. All my customers are asking me what I'm doing for my skin, so I just tell them I had plastic surgery. If they find out about Esotique, they're going to stop coming to my spa.
Esotique will tackle your dark circles, wrinkles, and age spots, leaving helping you with young and radiant skin. The results will astonish you. Call now for your risk-free supply of Esotique. 800-824-3854. That's 800-824-3854. Say goodbye to dark circles, age spots, and wrinkles. Supplies of Esotique are limited, so call now. 800-824-3854. That's 800-824-3854.
Hikari, established in 1877 with more than 130 years of experience, is the world's foremost authority on aquatic nutrition. We know what it takes to offer you and your aquatic pets nutrition that can help them look their best and live a long and healthy life. If you're looking for the best aquatic diets for your hard-earned dollar, look no further than Hikari, the aquatic nutrition leader worldwide. For further information, visit HikariUSA.com and our direct link at BlueZooRadio.com. Off the Bench with Josh Scar and Scotty Bickford, Mondays at 4 p.m. on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? For free information on how to proceed, call toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventors' information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other material of interest to new inventors. Learn how you can get your free information just by dialing toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product or don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. It's a free call, so call InventHelp right now.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
In these hard economic times, you've got to do whatever you can to save money. One of our biggest expenses can be our cars, especially when unexpected repair bills hit. Not anymore. If you have a car, truck, or SUV, you can stop paying for all covered repairs. That's right. You might not have to pay a penny more than you want for repairs. Just call 1-877-246-0508 right now to see if you qualify. Repairs for your engine, transmission, and much more can become a thing of the past if your vehicle has less than 130,000 miles. Just call 877-246-0508. 60508 today and get your car protected, saving you hundreds, even thousands of dollars. Phone lines are open right now. See if your vehicle qualifies. Just call 1-877-246-0508 to get your car protected today. Call 877-246-0508. That's 1-877-246-0508. Never pay for covered car repairs again. Just call 877-246-0508. That's 877-246-0508.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese, Sunday nights at 8 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes includes your free HDTV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card. Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. We're going to switch to the NHL now. Two games yesterday, four series left, obviously. The Elite Eight, if you will, in the NHL. But the surprise of the playoffs so far, without question, the Los Angeles Kings, the number eight seed. They beat Vancouver in five, and yesterday they beat St. Louis 3-1 to sweep the Blues. So now the number eight seed, Los Angeles Kings, have beaten the number one seed, Vancouver Canucks, in five, and beaten the number two seed, St. Louis Blues, in four. Stunning stuff. Yes, this is hockey. Yes, the number eight seed can go all the way. Yes, this has happened before, but they've put together a string with Jonathan Quick, arguably the best goalie in the playoffs, an excellent goalie during the season, but arguably the best goalie in the playoffs now, and arguably with Dustin Brown, maybe the best non-goalie player in the playoffs. If you had to pick a Conn Smythe Trophy winner right now, it would either be Quick or Dustin Brown. Yesterday, Kings 3, St. Louis 1. Jordan Nolan gets his first of the playoffs for the Kings. After the Blues tie it up, Dustin Brown scores what proves to be the game winner, his fifth of the playoffs, and then he gets an empty netter with about 26 seconds left in the game to clinch it. Kings 3, St. Louis 1. I thought St. Louis had a very good season, but the Kings seem to be on a roll. Yes, they have the goalie, but they're also a tough team, tough-minded, tough in the corners, and you got a guy like Dustin Brown, again, playing out of his mind. He might be the Conn Smythe Trophy. Obviously, the trophy winner, these guys are only halfway home, but they're the first team to make it to the Final Four. The Kings roll through Vancouver and St. Louis on their way now to the Western Conference Final. Los Angeles 3, St. Louis 1. The other game yesterday, Marty Brodeur's 40th birthday. Brodeur becomes the first goalie to play a game in the NHL as a teenager and as a 40-year-old, just to show you his greatness and longevity. Yesterday, in New Jersey, up 2-1. The Devils beat the Flyers, New Jersey 4, Philadelphia 2. Now, if you saw the Flyers roll through Pittsburgh, and they rolled through Pittsburgh, it was unbelievable. You really didn't give New Jersey much of a chance. But now New Jersey has a commanding 3-1 lead in the series, and a goalie who's turning it back a little, Brodeur up and down the last few seasons. Yesterday, New Jersey 4, Philadelphia 2. It was kind of an old-time Devils game. The Devils outshoot the Flyers 43-22. Not old-time because the Devils got 43 shots on goal, but old-time because the Flyers were limited to 22, 12 in the first two periods. So the Devils beat the Flyers 4-2. The Devils now lead 3-1. Brzgalov actually played okay in this game. You know, Merrills has said you can't blame Brzgalov for their poor play in the Pittsburgh series, even though they won. They kind of outscored him. I don't agree with that. I don't think Brzgalov played that well at all, except for the final game. But that was a shooting gallery in the playoffs, Pittsburgh against Philly. I mean, they said records for goals scored. It was ridiculous. But Brodeur gets the win. The Devils are up 3-1. They obviously have a good shot to advance. Yesterday, Scott Hartnell and Claude Giroux scored. Giroux, his eighth of the playoffs, scored to give Philly an early 2-0 lead, but in the span of less than 3 minutes in the first period, Peter Sikora and Zidolicki both score to tie up the game after one. In the second, Dana Zubra scores his second of the playoffs. That proved to be the game winner. And then Zubra scored his third, an empty netter late in the third period. New Jersey 4, Philadelphia 2. New Jersey up 3-1 in the series. Game 5, obviously, back in Philly, where they have, needless to say, lost home ice advantage. Devils lead, should win. Kings sweep, already won. Now, obviously, a four series left. The other series, the Rangers lose to the Capitals 3-2 on Saturday. The Capitals tie up that series. Look, the Rangers are just a grind-em-out team. They're a good team. They have a lot of trouble scoring. This Braden Holtby has played very well in the net for the Capitals. He's been a revelation. Kid had like 21 games of NHL experience before the playoffs started, and he's played very well in the playoffs. Although, on Saturday, if you're a Ranger fan, there was kind of a tough slashing call on Hagelin that gave the Capitals a power play late in the third period. That proved to be the difference as Mike Green takes a slap shot, scores on a power play with under 6 minutes to go. That was the difference in the game as the Capitals beat the Rangers 3-2 on Saturday to tie up the series at 2. Even within that power play, if you watched the game or even saw the replay, right before the goal was scored, it looked like Ryan Callahan of the Rangers was going to be able to clear the puck. And as he was going for the puck near the blue line to chop it out of the Rangers zone, he definitely got tripped. And it was just a bad non-call. Now, yes, I'm a Ranger fan, but this was a pretty clear trip. If you see the replay or watch the game, Callahan was going to be first to the puck, and then when he got tripped, he literally couldn't reach the puck. It's kept in, and then a pass over to Green on the other side for a wide-open slap shot, power play goal, Capitals 3, Rangers 2, series tied up at 2. Game 5 tonight, and, you know, it's the usual, as you know, whoever wins Game 5 will probably win the series. Doesn't always work like that, but Capitals with a good win for them, you know, they're a different team under Dale Hunter. They've become more of a defensive team, and they did get the win Saturday against the Rangers. The other series, called by many the Forgotten Series, Phoenix now leads that series 3-1 as they beat the Nashville Predators over the weekend. So in the West, you have Los Angeles already moving on to the Western Conference Finals. The Coyotes winning 3-1. You have to like their chances. The Devils in the East beating the Flyers, leading the Flyers 3-1. And you have to like their chances. And the Rangers Capitals 2-2. You can say it's a toss-up. I still like the Rangers. They do have Lundqvist. They still have the home ice advantage. But you have to give the Capitals credit because they're giving the Rangers all they can handle. That's the NHL. We'll get to the games and the times and the TV later. Want to move now to a few miscellaneous things. A lot of these NFL teams had rookie camps over the weekend. Robert Griffin III with Washington, of course. Andrew Luck with Indy. Not surprisingly, Shanahan has already named Robert Griffin III the starter. Washington obviously had their quarterback problems last year. But, you know, Shanahan is a pretty straight-up guy. He said, look, if you give up number one and two number twos, or I think it was two number ones and a number two, just to move up four spots in the draft to get a guy like Robert Griffin III, obviously he's going to start. You know, again, that NFC East is going to be very tough, very talent-laden. As you know, Washington, even though they were only 4-12 last year, they did beat the Giants twice. That's the Super Bowl-winning Giants. Boy, the NFC East is going to be very tough with the returning Super Bowl champs, with the Philadelphia Eagles, who will get a lot of support after they won their last four last year to just miss the playoffs. They finished 8-8. As you know, the Giants won the NFC East at 9-7. So it's going to be the Redskins with their new Robert Griffin at quarterback and with a pretty good core and obviously a Super Bowl, two-time Super Bowl winning coach in Shanahan. The Giants coming off a Super Bowl winning year. Yeah, they were 9-7, but they won the Super Bowl, and whatever you think of Eli Manning before, you have to put him in the elite category now after he beat Tom Brady and the Patriots for the second time in the Super Bowl. Also, of course, Dallas, always talented. Tony Romo, will he ever get over the hump? You don't know, but they're a very, very talented team. So, again, Philadelphia, who might be one of the favorites or should be one of the favorites to win the Super Bowl, the Giants, Washington with Robert Griffin, and the very talented Dallas Cowboys. What a, I think, clearly the best division in the National Football League. Also, mini camp for Andrew Luck. Now, it's interesting, even though Luck was the first choice, I don't think very much is going to be expected of him in Indianapolis this year. because they essentially cut ties with everybody from the front office to the coach to the players. I mean, they just don't have that many good. They still have Freeney and Mathis on defense. But Indianapolis is not going to be a good team this year. Andrew Luck is going to learn on the job. He's not going to sit behind a Peyton Manning or anybody else, frankly. They don't expect much of him. But Robert Griffin, a lot is expected. Again, when you beat the Super Bowl champ and there's a lot of pressure in Washington. Obviously, the Redskins are the big team in D.C. Yes, the Nationals are playing well this year. But obviously, a lot is expected in Washington. So there are more expectations on Griffin. He also has a better team around him now that Indianapolis has essentially stripped everyone bare. But yes, rookie camps for these guys, they both essentially said the same thing. Look, they're both smart guys. They're both talented athletes. They're both very good quarterbacks. And they both know they have to earn respect, even though they were the number one and two picks respectively. Obviously, Luck number one to Indy, Griffin number two to Washington. Another thing going on, you know about Junior Seau, and it was ruled a homicide. He did shoot himself in the chest. He did not leave a suicide note, as Dave Duerson did. Dave Duerson's note, the Bears, the old Bear, Dave Duerson said, make sure my brain is looked at. And now Junior Seau's brain as well is going to be looked at. Junior Seau, just the latest, frankly, this has become an epidemic, frankly. Duerson's family has filed a wrongful death suit against the NFL. The belief is, and you'll just have to see what the proof is, you know, everyone's going, oh, can these cases, can you win, can you win? The question is, what is the evidence? Do they have studies? Do they have emails or memoranda from the NFL that says, yeah, we know these concussions are dangerous? What is the proof going to be? But there are now, ESPN's doing a week-long thing on concussions in the NFL. And again, if you follow high school sports like I do in my area, you know the concussion problem is not A, just a football problem, or B, just an NFL problem. You know, soccer, boys and girls, big problems there. Hockey, obviously, lots of concussions there. Football, I think, because it is the most violent, is probably the reason it gets the most attention. And you see bigger mismatches in high school football, for example, than you see in the NFL. Yes, they're the biggest, they're the strongest, they're the fastest, they hit the hardest, no doubt. But in football, you can see 180-pound guys trying to block 250-pound guys. And that's really, to me, a recipe for disaster. So the NFL concussion problem is, to me, a borderline epidemic. But you also have to look at the college problems. You also have to look at the high school problems. You also have to look at the youth football problems as well. You know, the helmet, they're trying to make a better helmet, but the helmet was never made to stop concussions. In fact, if you go back and look at the 1910s and 20s in football, when people were getting skull fractures on a regular basis because they wore those old leather helmets that, you know, you see on some grainy black and white footage now, if you go back and look, you understand that the helmet was made to stop skull fractures. It still can't stop concussions. So, yes, you can regulate and enforce the rules on hits to the head, and that's important. But if you saw the interview over the weekend with Jim McMahon, who says he has a short-term memory loss all the time, he was being interviewed and said in 10 minutes, I won't remember this interview. If you saw the interview with Jim McMahon's girlfriend, she actually has to set the GPS in Jim McMahon's car to his home address. So if he's out driving and he doesn't remember where he lives, think about that. If he doesn't remember where he lives, he can hit his GPS to get home. So again, this is, I think, a silent epidemic that's now becoming more well-known. But don't think for a minute it's just football or it's just the NFL. Heading a soccer ball a lot of times can lead to concussion symptoms of a concussion. And then, of course, you have to be very careful. I think the younger you are, the worse these things are. Your brain is still developing. So you have to be careful in soccer, in lacrosse, in hockey, not just in football. And again, not just at the higher levels. I think potentially at the lower levels, it's even worse, especially in sports like hockey and football. So you have to be very, very careful if you're a parent. You have to be worried. You have to watch your kids. Yes, you have to rely on the coach and the training staff, but you should get educated yourself. but you have to be very, very concerned with what's come out in concussions in the last 5 years or so. And the real question is going to be whether this was known by entities like the NFL 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. If that's true, then the NFL is going to be on the hook for a ton of money. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right?
Hands in.
Palm slots
are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Men, do you know that your testosterone starts declining at 30 and keeps falling every year? Losing testosterone can lead to stress, mood swings, a negative outlook on life, and not to mention decreased sexual desire. That's why we created T-Gen to naturally help boost testosterone levels. T-Gen contains an ingredient proven to significantly increase healthy testosterone levels. So let's face it, as we age, it's harder and harder to keep up with the active lifestyle that we once had. But with T-Gen, it will be easier to relive those moments. So don't let aging be an excuse for a decreased sex drive and performance, and reclaim your zest for life today by calling 1-800-489-9266. For a risk-free supply, call 1-800-489-9266. And when combined with exercise, you'll gain muscle and lose fat. So start the changes today. Call 1-800-489-9266. 1-800-489-9266.
This is WWE Superstar The Big Show.
This is Edge.
This is Stacey Keibler.
What up? This is John Cena. You're logged on.
You're logged on.
And you're logged on to Sports Talk.
Sports Talk.
Sports Talk.
Sports Talk Network.com. Get your NBA news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
TH121 is the world's first antioxidant-based anti-aging weight loss formula proven to provide dramatic results with absolutely no side effects. No jitters, no racing heart, no staying awake all night. This unique combination of antioxidants and natural metabolism enhancers create a powerful appetite suppressant that turns each cell in your body into little fat and sugar-burning factories. Call now and receive a free 30-day supply of TH121 free with your order. And that's not all. If you're one of the first 150 callers, you'll receive fitness celebrity John Basedow's newest DVD and Chamonix's amazing 5-Minute Wrinkle Cream absolutely free with your order. It's an $80 value. Now you don't have to choose between living longer or looking better. Call 800-345-4204. That's 800-345-4204. Get a free 30-day supply, one free DVD, and a free 5-Minute Wrinkle Cream just by ordering right now. Results guaranteed or your money back. Call 800-345-4204. That's 800-345-4204.
Want to know what's going on in the world of professional wrestling and sports entertainment?
It's still real to me, damn it!
Join Paul Belfi and Mike Pitak.
You are a freaking lunatic!
For Pro Wrestling Insider.
Awesome!
On SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. Want to spend a couple of minutes on the Kentucky Derby. I'll have another Gets It All from Post 19. A wonderful ride by Mario Gutierrez, his young jock, who had won the Santa Anita Derby as well. To do what he did, it's hard to explain, to leave out of there from the 19 out of 20 horses, to get inside early, to be seventh at the quarter, but forwardly placed and close to the rail, was really a stunning ride by a young rider in his first Kentucky Derby, and he gets the job done. I'll have another run down Bodemeister. Bodemeister was unbelievable. I mean, he cut very fast fractions, 22-1, 45-2, 109-4. I mean, 109 4/5 in the Kentucky Derby is unfathomable for whoever does that to be around at the end. But Mike Smith just let him roll. Apparently that was the plan. He did have three at the top of the stretch, but he did get run down late by I'll Have Another, who again had a perfect trip, had dead aim, and rolled on by to win by a length and a half in 201-4. Again, not a very fast Kentucky Derby, but that's all irrelevant. I'll Have Another gets it all. Bodemeister second. Dullahan comes from way back to finish third. He raced unbelievably well as well. Union Rags got trapped in the back. Closed well to finish seventh, but never really had a chance. Gemologist, who was undefeated, was forwardly placed in that 109-4. I don't know that that's an excuse or not, but he certainly, to me anyway, had a good trip, but then was terrible and faded to 16th. Take Charge Indy, Calvin Burrell along the rail the whole time, actually chipped a bone in his ankle, so he needs an operation. He finished 19th. I think that's pretty much takes care of the other horses that people thought had a chance. Hansen, who was washed out before the race. If you don't know what that means, it means he really got hot before the race. He was really excited. He really broke out into a sweat. And they even said on the national telecast that you could essentially throw out Hansen before the race, which pretty much turned out to be true. Now, he left out of there. He was in the middle of that early speed duel. That might be the reason, as opposed to being washed out. But obviously, he wasn't well controlled. He looked like he was placed in a good spot, but he went from third at the top of the stretch to finishing ninth. So Hansen maybe will be a factor in the Preakness. Right now you have to like Bodemeister in the Preakness. As you know, the Derby is a mile and a quarter. The Preakness is shorter at a mile and 3/16. You know, personally, I think that's pretty stupid. We've talked about this before on this show. If the Triple Crown is a race for the best three-year-olds, A, it shouldn't go from a mile and a quarter to a shorter distance of a mile and a 3/16 to then a mile and a half in the Belmont, and that's pretty much the only time these horses will race a mile and a half anymore. Also, in today's racing world, if you will, they should not go 2 weeks, the Derby, then 2 weeks from the Derby, the Preakness, then 3 weeks from the Preakness, the Belmont. I mean, that is dinosauric, if that's a word, in nature. They really should run, I've suggested this before, I'm sure I'll write another article in the next few weeks, they really should go first Saturday in May, first Saturday in June, first Saturday in July for the Triple Crown, and then you would have the Travis viewed to be the, quote, fourth leg of the Triple Crown, if you will, at the end of August up in Saratoga. But it's going to be the way it's going to be. I'll Have Another will not be the favorite in Pimlico if Bodemeister goes. Now, to whack out that kind of mile and a quarter, to have three at the top to get beat in the deep stretch, and then 2 weeks later go to the Preakness, Bodemeister will be the favorite if he comes out of the race okay, because his speed, I mean, he left around Triniberg, who was that cheap 7-furlong horse. He actually got out of the gate quicker than Triniberg, and he whacked out the mile and a quarter. And again, the plan was, if he felt good, to let him roll. A lot of people criticizing Mike Smith for going too fast, and they might be right. But he did have a clear lead around the turn. He did have a clear lead at the top of the stretch, but he also did get run down by the winner. I'll Have Another. You got to give him a lot of credit. I mean, he really went a big, big mile and a quarter, trained by Doug O'Neill, who was happy out of his mind, as he should be, a lifer in the game, finally gets his first Kentucky Derby. I think he's 44 years old, owned by the Redham family. Got to give I'll Have Another and his jock, Mario Gutierrez, credit, because to win from the 19, he's the first horse ever. Now, the Derby, they say, oh, the first horse ever to win in 138 Derbies from post 19. I don't know how many times they've had a full field of 20, but it's not 138, that's for sure. But in any event, the first horse ever to win the Kentucky Derby from post 19, I'll Have Another. Apparently, he's going to the Preakness. Bodemeister probably going to the Preakness. I would think a horse like Dullahan right now, if you had to handicap the Preakness and the Belmont, you'd have to like Bodemeister in the Preakness and Dullahan in the Belmont, because Dullahan can run all day. Kent DeSormo, who's got three derbies to his credit, said afterwards he was in so much trouble. He got knocked around, he got blocked off, and he was flying late. I didn't really think a threat to win the race, but he did only get beat a length and three quarters for the whole thing. So you got to like Bodemeister in the Preakness because it's shorter and he'll probably whack it out. And you got to like Dullahan in the longer Belmont, a quarter of a mile longer than the Derby, because he was in all kinds of trouble and was still flying late to be third. And that's not to take anything away from I'll Have Another, because he had a great trip and raced really well to win the Kentucky Derby. So congratulations to him and all of his connections. Want to get to the baseball now. Now, the lead story in baseball yesterday, and you probably heard about it by now, after 110 at-bats, apparently the longest streak ever by someone in the history of baseball with 400 homers, after 110 at-bats, Albert Pujols finally hits his first home run of the year. And if you saw the replay, he was actually fooled on the pitch, but he's Albert Pujols. You know, to me, he's shown a lot of warning track power. Is he getting older? Is he, you know, under the pressure of a gigantic 10-year, $240 million contract? Well, it could be both of those things, but you can't think Pujols is done as a productive player now. He's only, I think, 32 years old or 31 years old. But he did sign that 10-year deal. Obviously, there's a lot of pressure. You have to be just as worried with his lack of power as his lack of hitting. Even hitting a home run yesterday, his first of the year, he's still batting 196. He goes 1-for-4, and his batting average goes up. That's not Albert Pujols, as you know. Traditionally, at a minimum, a 300 hitter with 30-plus home runs and 100-plus RBIs has not gone well for the Angels. They do move to 12-17. A lot of people are saying, oh, maybe this can jumpstart Albert, but it's not like he looked good in his other at-bats. But he does get his first home run of the year. Frankly, beating the Blue Jays yesterday 4-3, obviously the difference in the game, Angels 4, Blue Jays 3, Blue Jays 16-13 in that tough AL East. But yesterday for the Angels, Macerus Torres got two hits. Trumbo, now playing right field, got two hits. You know, they shook up the lineup because of Pujols. Trumbo doesn't play all the time now. He's in right field yesterday. He's the DH a lot of times. Yesterday, 2-for-3. He's hitting .313. Callaspo, the third baseman, also with two hits. But it's been a tough go of it early on. Socha, the manager, a great manager, is apparently very unhappy with the way things have gone. But at least yesterday, Pujols gets his first home run. Will that really jumpstart him? Well, we'll have to see again. To me, his other at-bats didn't look that great. But the Angels 4, the Blue Jays 3. The Angels move up to 12-17. Williams gets the win. He's 3-1. Toronto drops to 16-13. Hutchinson takes his first loss of the year. He's 1-1. Take a look now at a few other games in the American League. How about the Orioles? They sweep the Red Sox. They win yesterday in 17 innings. What a wacky game this was. J.J. Hardy hits two home runs early to give the Orioles a 2-0 lead. Home runs 5 and 6 for Hardy. Robert Andino hits a two-run homer. But the game winds up going 17 innings. And the very interesting thing is Chris Davis, the DH, I don't know if you'll ever see this again in the history of baseball. It's probably an Elias Sports Bureau question. Davis in the box score is listed as a DH/pitcher. Davis goes 0-for-8 with 5 strikeouts and hits into a double play. But late in the game, because the Orioles, like the Red Sox, were out of pitchers, late in the game, Davis comes in to pitch 2 shutout innings and get the win. I mean, he had a changeup. He threw a little, looked like a slider. I mean, he was pretty good. It turns out Chris Davis was a closer in junior college. So Baltimore winds up getting the win on an Adam Jones 3-run homer in the top of the 17th, his 8th of the year. And Davis comes out to pitch the bottom of the 17th after pitching the bottom of the 16th, and he does get the Red Sox out. He actually gets Darnell McDonald, another position player who came in to pitch for Boston, to ground into a game-ending double play with first and second and one out. Chris Davis, the DH, gets Darnell McDonald, the position player, pitcher for Boston, to ground into a game-ending double play. Baltimore 9, Red Sox 6. Again, this is a game for the ages. Hardy went 5-for-8 with 2 homers. Off to a slow start, though. He's only hitting .217. Adam Jones goes 3-for-8 with what turned out to be the game-winning homer. He's hitting .304, 3 RBIs yesterday. But Davis, the designated hitter, goes 0-for-8 and then gets the win as a pitcher, if you can imagine. I mean, just one of the all-time bizarre box scores in the history of baseball. The Orioles, the first-place Orioles, move to 19-9. They sweep the Red Sox in Fenway. Boston drops to 11-16. Mike Avilas goes 3-for-8 for Boston. Sweeney, the right fielder, goes 4-for-8. He's hitting .360. Gonzalez, the first baseman, goes 0-for-8. Apparently the first cleanup hitter in the history of the Boston Red Sox to go 0-for-8 in the game. Ortiz, the DH, 2-for-4. He's hitting .360, but was taken out of the game eventually for McDonald. McDonald came in to pinch run for him. And Middlebrooks, their rookie third baseman, Will Middlebrooks, hits a grand slam home run, his first in the major leagues, but not enough. In a stunning 17-inning game, Baltimore 9, Red Sox 6. And another interesting stat you like here is the first time since 1925 that both teams had position players pitching. And back in 1925, that was Ty Cobb. Yes, Ty Cobb against George Sisler. Sisler, of course, held the record for hits in a season, 257, till Ichiro broke it a few years ago. 2 Hall of Famers, by the way. A few other games in the American League quickly. Tigers 3, White Sox 1. Porcello gets the win. He's 3-2. Axelrod takes the loss. Valverde gets his 5th save. Jackson hit his 4th home run. Dierks his 2nd. Prince Fielder his 4th. Adam Dunn hit his 9th home run for the White Sox. Not enough. Tigers 3, White Sox 1. Indians beat the Rangers. Ubaldo Jimenez gets the win. He's 3-2. Yu Darvish takes his 1st loss. He's 4-1. Perez gets his 11th save. Jason Kipnis hits his 5th home run for the Cleveland Indians. The Athletics beat the Rays 9-5. Maloney gets the win. He's 4-2. Moore takes the loss. He's 1-2. Brandon Inge, now of the Oakland A's, hits his 2nd home run of the year. B.J. Upton hits his 2nd. The Yankees bury the Royals 10-4. Phil Hughes pitched well to get his win, 2nd win. He's 2-4. Hochevar takes the loss for KC. He's 2-3. The Yankees, Cano hits his 2nd of the year, grand slam. Nick Swisher hits his 7th. A-Rod gets his 5th. Quintero gets his 1st for Kansas City. And the Mariners beat the Twins 5-2. Noesi gets the win. He's 2-3. Blackburn takes the loss. He's 0-4. Quickly now to the National League. The Mets beat the Diamondbacks 3-1. R.A. Dickey was unbelievable. Now 4-1. Cahill takes the loss. He's 2-3. Francisco gets his 7th save of the year for the Mets. Mets 15-13. Diamondbacks 14-15. The Reds shut out the Pirates 5-0. Latos gets the win. He's 2-2. Morton takes the loss. He's 1-3. Stubbs and Frazier homer for Cincinnati. Cardinals beat the Astros 8-1. Wainwright pitched very well. He's 2-3. He gets the win. Knapp 2-2 takes the loss. Craig hits his 1st of the year. And Green hits two home runs for St. Louis. St. Louis 8, Astros 1. Cubs beat the Dodgers 4-3. Dolis gets the win. He's 2-2. Wright takes the loss. He's 1-2. Rivera hits his first of the year for the Dodgers in defeat. Braves beat the Rockies 7-2. Brandon Beachy pitching very well for the Braves. He's 3-1. Nicasio takes the loss. He's 2-1. Martinez gets his first save of the year. Freddie Freeman hits his sixth of the year for Atlanta. Dan Uggla with his fourth. Giants beat the Brewers 4-3. Lopez gets the win. He's 3-0. Diller takes the loss. He's 0-1. Marlins beat the Padres 6-3. Ricky Nolasco goes to 4-0. Mojica gets his second save of the year. Cashner takes the loss. He's 2-2. And finally, the Phillies beat the Nationals 9-3. Cole Hamels gets the win. He's 4-1. Zimmerman takes the loss. He's 1-3. Now, Hunter Pence hit two home runs for Philly, but the story here, if you watch the game or even saw the highlights, was Bryce Harper was hit by Cole Hamels his first time up, and Hamels admitted after the game that he did it on purpose. So Hamels, I think, has to be suspended, not just fined. Again, you give him credit for honesty, and you give him negative points for stupidity. But Hamels did hit Bryce Harper. Harper eventually came back, though, interestingly, after he was hit. There was a first and third play. Harper was on third. Hamels, a lefty, tries to pick off the runner at first. And Bryce Harper steals home, just got in under the throw. I don't know if you could say he got the last laugh or not. Then Zimmerman winds up hitting Hamels. So there could be something in the future between these two teams. But Hamels did admit, yeah, I tried to hit him. And I did hit him. So we'll see if he gets suspended. I think he gets 5 games. He has to miss a start, but we'll have to wait and see what happens. Quickly on the TV tonight, NBA playoffs, TNT doubleheader, Spurs at the Jazz. To me, virtually a non-competitive series. You love the Spurs. A competitive series is the Grizzlies at the Clippers. Spurs at Jazz, 8 o'clock Eastern on TNT. Grizzlies at Clippers, 10:30 Eastern TNT. Of course, that's 7:30 out on the West Coast. In the NHL playoffs, a doubleheader on the NBC Sports Channel, 7:30 Capitals at Rangers, 7:30 Eastern. Predators at Coyotes, 10 o'clock Eastern. And the one baseball game tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern. Mets at Phillies, 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN. This is the Steve Kallis Show, or at SportsTalkNetwork.com.